The key verse is verse 33, leading us up to that verse. And when you back up in chapter 13, we know about, we've been looking at the Israelites as they came out of the wilderness and went over into the promised land. We've talked about that each week, about the fact that it's getting to a place that God would have us to get to in our Christian life, or what it pictures us getting to in our Christian life. It's not heaven. It's just a place in this life that God's trying to lead us to. And they had got in, and, you know, they got past Jericho, Ai, and some cities. And now they've gotten to the point where that the Lord directed this, but they were, Joshua had divvied up by lot to the different tribes the parcels of land, the sections of land, big sections. I mean, they'd mark them off from this mountain to that border and, you know, all around it. And everybody, they were dividing the land up. And now they had came in and they had fought collectively as the nation of Israel. They had went to battle with the first few cities that they came up against. We learned some stuff there, right? Never neglect to pray, right? We learned that. They forgot about that at Ai and they were defeated. But we saw how God, even though God was the one that was giving the victory, there was still the participation by God's people in the battle. We saw that. So they had learned some principles about the battle that they would use now as individual nations. They would go and get to their, there was still cities that were going to have to be defeated in these lands, this inheritance that was given to them by ultimately the Lord had given them that. There was still going to be some battles that they would have to fight. They would use the same principles. Prayer, the power of God, you know, the obedience of God's people, all those things. All these things apply to us in our Christian walk. All these things apply in our life. And so, and Joshua had said all the way back in verse 1, he had said, thou art old and stricken in years, there remaineth yet very much land to be possessed. This is what the Lord said to him. There was a lot of land that still had to be possessed. And this possession was by lot. You can read down there just a little bit farther. It'd say that. It would say that it was by lot. You know, we use that term sometimes. You know, your lot in life, the you know, however it works out for you. Well, this was the lot in life that was directed by God. And so keep that in mind, that word lot. Sometimes people aren't satisfied with their lot in life, but sometimes it's still a lot that's directed by God too. And so we think about that when we go along here just a little bit. But you know, God had already determined, this is a key thing, God had determined the precise area that each tribe was going to have. You know, this is, you remember how specific he was. Remember that 2.5 tribes wanted to stay on the other side of the river. The grass was good. They said, we go over there and help you fight. Now that, it was okay. It had good grass and it was over there, but it wasn't the place that God had for them. I think, and I brought that out, I think a few weeks ago, that there was a piece of land over there somewhere that God wanted them to get to. Think about this, that there's a place that God wants you and I to get to somewhere in our spiritual life that we're probably not there at. And I'm going to tell you what, it's going to be better than wherever you are right now. It's going to be better spiritually than where we are now. God's leading us there. He doesn't expect us to get there all in one shot. He knows it's a journey. You know, you're going to get there. There's going to be some battles to fight. But there's a place that God's getting to us. Now listen, like, you know what, just depends on how you look at everything. How is it for you? Well, I'll tell you what, it's pretty good. You know what? Is it perfect? No, it's not perfect, but I'm going to tell you what, is the glass half full or half empty? I like to look at the thing half full, for crying out loud. I mean, so it's if it's good like this and we hadn't got to the place that God wants us to get to, just think how good it's going to be when we get to the place that God wants us to get to. That God's got a piece of land that's just for you. I mean, in that picture, he's got a place for you. That's just for you. I mean, it is going to be good. And so here he had this, he had determined this, that each tribe would occupy it. Each was going to be responsible for applying the principles that they learned in that united warfare as a nation. And listen, if we fail to possess everything that God has for us, it's because we have refused to accept our lot that God has for us in Christ. We're not accepting that lot. You know, what is it? You know, most of the time, and just bear this thought, if you look in the Bible and you study like the disciples, or even more specifically, even the apostles, most of the time, they didn't end up going where they wanted to go. It's just the way, it wasn't like God says, I'm going to be mean and you know, they want to go here, and I'm going to know if you want to go there, I'm going to send you here and that. No, it wasn't like that. But there was a lot of times they had ideas in place. They said, listen, I want to go there. And God said, no, I don't want you to go there. I want you to go. Paul took forever for Paul to get to Rome. He wanted to go to Rome a whole lot earlier than he did go. And it's probably good because he didn't, you know, survive that. But, you know, there's places that he you know, that God wants us to get to, and it may not be what we're thinking. It may not, and God has something for us, and it may not be what our idea of what God ought to have for us, but it's still going to be the best place. It's still going to be the right place for us. A lot of people are discontented with their lot, I see, when you think about it. You know, sometime in life, listen, all of us here, I think, you know, we could talk about this forever, but a lot of us are thinking, like, here you are, wherever place you are in life. Is this where how you planned it when years ago? Is this what you thought you would be, you know, where you would be in life, you know? Did you have bigger plans than what you got, you know, most? You know, you want to do, when you're a kid, man, you got these great big plans. And I always say, as the years go by, you know, you got the bucket list thing. Well, there's stuff that keeps dropping off of that list. It's not because I accomplished it. It's because I'm not going to. I can just see it's not going to. But I used to want to jump out of an airplane with a parachute. I was driving. My mind has changed on that deal right there. Nah, I wouldn't mind riding in a hot air balloon, though. I would do that. But anyway, that's just something, a little minor thing. But, you know, we had hopes and plans, like, and sometimes they have failed. Those plans have failed. And sometimes they have not come to pass, or things have come to pass that we did not expect to happen. Health, ill health sometimes has affected people along the way. And then sometimes, you know, you get to a place in life, and as far as like things with God, you just feel like, you know what, God, I don't think God can use me. I don't think I'm going to be any good for God. We've got families broken up. Marriages that started off well have end up in a bad way or bad way, a place. People have been divorced and families are broken up, split families. And some people feel as though they may not be able to be used by God with all the baggage that they have from the past life. And sometimes people get bitter about that. They feel like, oh, you know, God can't do anything with me, or else he can't do what I want him to do with me. And they start to get even maybe angry at God about that, or maybe angry with their own self about that. But in the scripture that we're looking at tonight, in verse 33 is the key verse. I believe there'll be some things there, and we'll be able to look at some things tonight that God will have to say about that. And we'll look at the tribe of Levi, who had no inheritance in the land, but had the Lord himself as their inheritance. And boy, I'm going to tell you what, that's a picture of Christianity today. The Israelites' inheritance was in the land. And I'm going to tell you what, in the New Testament, our inheritance is in the Lord. That's the breakdown right there. We don't have them promises, Paul. We don't have them land promises. But boy, we got that inheritance promise in the Lord in this dispensation. That's what we had today. And so we're going to see something. I'm going to show you something that, you know, you may think, oh, man, you know what I have to do? It's not as good as pastor in the church, and what I had to do, it's not as good as being a missionary, and what God has for me to do, you know, it's just not. I'm going to tell you, I'm going to show you different than that. I'm going to show you a different thing, so just hold on to your hats right there. We're going to look at the tribe of Levi. It said in verse 33, but to the tribe of Levi, Moses gave not any inheritance. They didn't have an inheritance in the land. The Lord God of Israel was their inheritance, as he said unto them. The very first point we want to look at is their honor. In Deuteronomy 10, chapter 10, 8 and 9, it says this: at that time the Lord separated the tribe of Levi to bear the ark of the covenant of the Lord, to stand before the Lord to minister unto him, and to bless in his name unto this day. Wherefore Levi hath no part nor inheritance with his brethren. The Lord is his inheritance according as the Lord thy God promised him. Now, buddy, that's a pretty good inheritance right there. There's a blessing that there was a great honor. You know, and I used to say like this, you know was that tribe any better than the other tribe? This is where your priests came from. This is where all the priests came out from Levi. They were able to minister to the Lord. You had to be out of the tribe of Levi. Were they better than the other tribes? Nope, they weren't. Matter of fact, in some ways, when we get to seeing how they got around to this point right here, they had failed in places where the other tribes hadn't failed, as a matter of fact. But, well, why did they get to do that? Because just God said it. God just said it. There were some things that led to it, obviously. There were some things that along the way it worked out. But, I mean, that's just the way God chose. I mean, it doesn't have anything to do with anybody being any better or being any worse. And but we see here what an honor it was to be called. I was thinking, can you imagine that you're calling, you got to carry the, bear the ark. You know, you couldn't touch the ark. It put them staves in there. You didn't look in it. But that is the visible, tangible presence of God. That your responsibility is to carry. You know, Philip, you'd be up there in the front, and I'd be maybe on back. Watch out, Philip. Watch that stump right there, man. Don't trip, man. Drop that whole thing down on the ground. Woo! I don't think God would let it fall. God wouldn't let you do it, see. But what a privilege that you get to. You know, you got to carry the ark. Now there's a responsibility that comes with it. Don't trip on the stump. That's one of the responsibilities. There's a privilege there. They were called to a life of worship, to minister unto the Lord. They possessed him, all his resources, all his power, all his blessings were to come to them and then through them to others. What does this sound like? Who does this sound like? To Christians. This is exactly the Christ life. This is our inheritance is the Lord now. Guess what? We are called and we believe in the priesthood of believers. Right now we have the priesthood. We got direct access to God. We go directly to God now in the New Testament. It's a picture of Christians, what Christians have. All Christians have this. All Christians have the same calling. We all have it. We are called to a life of worship. We are called to possess him and all his resources, all his power, all his blessings were to come to us and then through us to go out to others. Man, we got that same call. The same one. To them and to us. No relationship of secondary importance was to be allowed to hinder their communion with God. No relationship, and listen, every other relationship besides your relationship to Jesus Christ is a secondary relationship. I don't care if it's a baby. I don't care if it's a spouse. I don't care if it's a mama. Huh? I mean, I'm going to tell you what it is. Every other relationship is a secondary relationship. Now, we got some commands on taking care of our family and spouse, you know, and we got things that we have to do, but that relationship with God. My buddy Chili, he asked me the other day, he said, hey, I want you to write down, I was sharing this Wednesday night. He goes, I want you to write down, and it was somebody he had listened to, that said, the seven most important things, you know, your priorities, seven priorities in life. And the guy he listened to said the first one was the Holy Spirit, that priority there. And I said, well, and I'd already thought about this myself, and I couldn't get past number one. And I'll tell you why, because everything else hinged on number one. Number one is the priority in our life should be our relationship with Jesus Christ. And if you got that relationship straight, every other relationship will be right. Every relationship will be right. Your relationship with your spouse, your relationship with your family members, your relationship with your neighbors, your relationship with your boss, every other thing, your relationship to witnessing, to soul winning, everything you can think of, will hinge upon that relationship if your relationship with Christ is right. Just get, so you don't have to go down number one. Just get number one straight and all the rest of it. That was their responsibility. It's also our responsibility. It's the same thing, the parallel there. The Levites were called to a life of work, to stand before the Lord, to minister unto him. Their work was in the sanctuary. Where is the sanctuary today? It's right here. It's not here. We call it this. Some people do. I usually call it the auditorium, but some people call it another sanctuary is in your heart. They were to be intercessors. The greatest influence in the world is that influence of a prayer life as an intercessor for others. That's the greatest influence in the world, one of the greatest influences in the world. They were called to that. Called to a life of witness for God. Called to bless his name. Tell me, there's none of these callings here that do not apply to us today. Not a single one. Every single one. To be two-way channels through which others could come to God, channels through which God could come to men. That's our calling. That's our calling. This was the Levites' calling. God commanded in Numbers 35:2 that the other tribes were to set aside a total of 48 cities for the use of the Levites. That means I think the high priest served for 20 years, if I'm not mistaken. 20 years and he was done. When they had a rotational thing, but 20 years and that was it. And then when the Levites were done serving God, when they went their retirement years, whatever, they could go to any one of them 48 cities that they chose, and there would be a cities for them to dwell in. I guess they had houses. I'm not sure if they had homes there. Must have had something there for them. There was other tribes had to set aside. It was 48 cities that would be designated cities that specifically were for the tribe of Levi, because they didn't have lands. They didn't have lands to farm and do all that, you know, have their homes. So this was set aside. So when they were free from that work in the sanctuary, they went to those cities to live. Think about this. Fresh from the sanctuary of God, filled with the joy of his service and the glory of his presence, they brought a hallowing influence of the presence of the Lord everywhere they went. Man, I've said all along, boy, I always try to put myself in every situation, being the high priest, walking in the Holy of Holies. You wouldn't want to leave. I don't know, I'm sure God would lay on you when it was time to go, say it was time to leave, but you wouldn't want to leave. Man, you walk out of the presence of God in that atmosphere, man, God just dripping off of you, and other people be looking, everybody be looking at you, thinking, man, like, tell us about it, man. I mean, just, you know, Moses came down from the mount talking with God. The Bible says his face shone. He didn't even know it. His face was shining. You imagine the influence that they had? Boy, there's a picture of a New Testament Christian, a real one. A New Testament Christian today, so influenced by God in their life that God was seen in their life, supposed to be seen in their life, and to have an influence on everybody that we came around. A positive influence, by the way. You have an influence one way or the other. A positive influence on everybody that we come in contact with. That was... Boy, there it was, and you had a city and a priest that had just come from the service of the temple comes to dwell in that city. Whoo, man, it was going to be a blessing, man. And so their inheritance was a life of worship, a life of work, and a life of witness. Can there be any frustration in that life? No, not in the context I'm using it in. I'm not saying they never got frustrated. But I'm saying this was a satisfied life. They didn't have to run around thinking, oh, man, I wonder if I'm doing what God wants me to do. I wonder if, you know, I want a different lot in life than what I've got. Huh? How much better could it get? Huh? How much of a better life could they have? Man, they were as close to you could get to the physical activities that went on with the worship of God, and then there was the presence of God. They were constantly working and living and worshiping in the presence of God's, you know, and the Shekinah glory would be around at times. And I mean, man, they were in there and they were doing all the things, the holy things that took place. They were constantly in that. What more? And there's our call, really. There may be some other things that go along with it, but there's a call. There shouldn't be any frustration in that life as to what God has for you to do. Listen, you can do the greatest thing. I don't care who you are here. God may never call you to be a pastor. God may never call you to be a missionary. God may never call you to full-time or what we call, you know, an occupational situation where that's what you do for a living. But God has called you to every single thing that we've looked at already from the Levites. He's called us to that. It can't be anything greater than that for us to do. I mean, man, live, what a life that they had. No inheritance in the land, but your inheritance is in the Lord. Man, listen, It's still the Lord, see? It's got to be the Lord. The greatest thing, the greatest possession that we have is Jesus Christ. The greatest thing for me is not being a pastor. The greatest thing for me is being a child of God. You know, being in fellowship with God, no matter what. You know, that it can't, nothing can replace that. I mean, that's the greatest thing. No matter what we could attain to, it's still not going to outdo or out, it'd be a greater thing than this inheritance of the Lord that we have. So he wants you for himself. The greatest service in the world, to go into the sanctuary for men and go out into the city for God. We come down here to the altar, we can pray for men. We go out into the world, we can go out into the world for God. You know, for on his behalf. Nothing greater than that. Nothing greater. Amen. Well, yeah, but I ain't talking about that. Okay. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about now. Yeah, I'm talking about now. Yeah, in this life. I'm talking about what he's got for us right now. Huh? There's nothing any greater than that. And to go out into the city for God. Oh, man, I tell you what, there's nothing more fulfilling in the world than leading somebody to the Lord. Amen. Man, there's nothing like it. I don't care who you are. You don't have to have a title. You don't have to have a name tag with a, huh? You don't have, no, man, you just go out there and talk to somebody about the Lord and that's a fulfilling thing. I mean, that's a satisfied life right there. We look at their preparation. We have their honor. Now we see their preparation. Well, what was it, or if anything, what led them to have this unique lot in the plans of God? Well, you go all the way back to Genesis chapter 34. You don't have to turn there. I'll just tell you what happened. In Genesis chapter 34, Simeon and Levi had a sister named Dinah, and a man caught her out in the field and laid with her, defiled her. Oh, he wanted to marry her after it was over with. He went to his daddy and all, but he'd gone all around about the whole thing the wrong way. Well, Simeon and Levi took revenge on them men. Huh? Had to do with circumcision and things, told them that's what they needed to do. Then they got them off guard, and they killed a bunch of them, Simeon and Levi. And when their father, Jacob, when that happened, they were rebuked by their father, Jacob, for doing that. And he said that they had dishonored his name. Simeon and Levi had dishonored his name. And even on his deathbed, when Jacob was on his deathbed, he hadn't forgot about what they had done, and he pronounced a curse on them instead of a blessing. Usually the father would call all the sons in, and then he would give a blessing to them. When he called Simeon and Levi in, he pronounced a curse on them on his deathbed because of what they had done. And he said, I will divide them in Jacob and scatter them in Israel. Thank you.
God took note of that. Simeon didn't, but the Levites, they responded. They repented of their sin. They turned to God. And from that moment on, they were marked out for a blessing by God. That was the turning point in their life. Notice that difference. One failed to repent, and the other repented and fell into the plans of God all their lives. Now, I know God knew all that was going to take place, but I believe there was an opportunity there. God could have used Simeon, the tribe of them, just as easy as he could have used any of them, but one repented. One failed to repent. The other repented and fell into the plans of God all their lives. Now, I want you to notice something. When the Levites made this decision, Moses said, you know, who's going to be on the Lord's side? And they stood up. When they made that decision to follow God, they were not in the land of blessing. They were still in the wilderness. So they hadn't seen anything fulfilled. They hadn't seen, other than they got away from Egypt, but they hadn't seen any of the plans fulfilled. They were still wandering around in the wilderness. The plans of God, the things that God had for them on the other side over in the land of Canaan, none of that was seen by them. They didn't have any of that. The plans and the promises and the purposes of God were unknown and unseen. Their future was dark, particularly. Their journey was tiresome. Sin and idolatry were all around them and around all the nations all around them. So it wasn't like a circumstance where a favorable circumstance. But they said, we're going to stand on the Lord's side. We're going to be with the Lord no matter how it looks, no matter how bleak it looks. We're wandering around the wilderness. We haven't got to the land of promise. We're drinking water out of a rock and manna on the ground and all the things that they had to go through. And they hadn't gained 40 years of wandering until all the males died in the land. All those things were going on. All that. But they said, you know what, we're going to follow God. They chose that. God took note, man. Listen, I mean, God took note. This is it right here. You know, once, it doesn't matter. The past is the past, but they purposed in their heart that they were going to follow God. And see, we can do the same thing. Every person can do the same thing. And he takes note when you cling to him in the wilderness. He takes note when you cling to him in the fire. He takes note and when we refuse to let anything or anybody pull us back into the world. Man, that was a strong statement. And then we see the last point was their hope. In verse 33, the last words, it said, but unto the tribe of Levi, Moses gave not any inheritance. The Lord God of Israel was their inheritance. As he said unto them, this wasn't a mistake. This was planned by God. It was all planned out by God. There's a New Testament parallel in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 11. The Bible says, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance. Now listen, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. This is what was predestinated, that we should be to the praise of his glory who first trusted in Christ. We have obtained an inheritance that we should be to the praise of his glory who first trusted in Christ. Chosen by God, this chosen inheritance. That's in verse 18 is actually in that chapter. Verse 18 is his. That's our side of it. God's side of it is the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. That we'll know that. Our inheritance in Christ is matched by Christ's inheritance. See, we're his inheritance. See how that works? We're a Christ inheritance. His people. This is it. Man, there it is. It's such a parallel there with them, with us. Our inheritance is in the Lord. There's no material thing that is going to be equal to or greater than the inheritance that we have in Jesus Christ. That's for us. We are exactly like that tribe right there. We're a priesthood of believers. Our calling is to serve God. Our calling is to worship God. Our calling is to be a witness in the world, to be a blessing to the world, to carry the to intercede for men, and to carry the word of God out out to people, out into the world. That's, we have the same thing. That's what we have. There's nothing greater than that. There's nothing. Nothing we're going to do any greater than that. And it couldn't be topped. And so, you know, that's our lot that God has called us to. Boy, what a blessing that is. Jesus Christ is our inheritance. No matter how blessed in the land we are, Jesus Christ is still our inheritance. Never let your blessings in this life take away from your inheritance in Christ. Never let those blessings in this life. Nothing any greater than that. Amen?
Amen.
Let's all stand. Done with that.